So this morning we're preparing for the Prabhupada Marathon, which begins on Saturday. It's arguably the most ecstatic festival of the year, a month-long festival of sharing the mercy, sharing our good fortune with others, and inviting people to join this transcendental adventure that is Krishna consciousness. Do we have the Bhagavatam? So this morning, the verse that we've selected to speak on to help us develop a meditation ahead of the Prabhupada Marathon is from Canto 7, Chapter 14, which is entitled Ideal Family Life, text number 29. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki! Auspicious indeed are the places where there is a temple of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, in which He is duly worshipped, and also the places where there flow the celebrated sacred rivers mentioned in the Puranas, the supplementary Vedic literatures. Anything spiritual done there is certainly very effective. Purport. There are many atheists who oppose the worship of the deity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the temple. In this verse, however, it is authoritatively stated that any place where the deity is worshipped is transcendental. It does not belong to the material world. It is also said that the forest is in the mode of goodness, and therefore those who want to cultivate spiritual life are advised to go to the forest. Vanam gato yad dharim ashrayeta. But one should not go to the forest simply to live like a monkey. Monkeys and other ferocious animals also live in the forest. But a person who goes to the forest for spiritual culture must accept the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as shelter. Vanam gato yad dharim ashrayeta. One should not be satisfied simply to go to the forest. One must take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this age, therefore, since it is impossible to go to the forest for spiritual culture, one is recommended to live in the temple community as a devotee, regularly worship the deity, follow the regulative principles, and thus make the place like Vaikuntha. The forest may be in goodness, the cities and villages in passion, and the brothels, hotels, and restaurants in ignorance. But when one lives in the temple community, he lives in Vaikuntha. Therefore, it is said here, Shreyasam Padam, it is the best, most auspicious place. In many places throughout the world, we are constructing communities to give shelter to devotees and worship the deity in the temple. The deity cannot be worshipped except by devotees. Temple worshippers who fail to give importance to the devotees are third class. They are Kanishtha Adhikaris in the lower stage of spiritual life. As it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.47, Archayam eva haraye pujamya shraddha pujamya shraddhaye hate na tad bhakteshu chanyeshu sabhakta prakrita smritah. A person who is very faithfully engaged in the worship of the deity in the temple but does not know how to behave toward devotees or people in general is called a prakrita bhakta or kanishtha adhikari. Therefore, in the temple, there must be the deity of the Lord, and the Lord should be worshipped by the devotees. This combination of the devotees and the deity creates a first-class transcendental place. Aside from this, if a grahastha devotee worships the Shalagram Shila, or the form of the deity at home, his home also becomes a very great place. It was therefore customary for members of the three higher classes, namely the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas, to worship the Shalagram Shila, or a small deity of Radha Krishna or Sitaram, in each and every home. This made everything auspicious. But now they have given up the deity worship. Men have become modernized and are consequently indulging in all sorts of sinful activities, and therefore they are extremely unhappy. According to Vedic civilization, therefore, the holy places of pilgrimage are considered most sacred, and still there are hundreds and thousands of holy places like Jagannath Puri, Vrindavan, Haridwar, Rameshwara, Prayag, and Mathura. India is the place for worshipping or for cultivating spiritual life. The Krishna consciousness movement invites everyone from all over the world, without discrimination as to caste or creed, to come to its centers and cultivate spiritual life perfectly. Om Gyanti Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shilakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Before beginning, we'd like to seek the blessings of all the devotees and humbly beg for your mercy that we may be able to share something that is relevant, meaningful, and ultimately in line with Srila Prabhupada's teachings and desires. And I explicitly request the blessings of His Holiness Swayam Bhagavan Keshav Maharaj. So, the Prabhupada Marathon is coming. Recently, we celebrated the transcendental disappearance anniversary of Srila Prabhupada. And perhaps it's no coincidence that his Tirobhava Tithi, his disappearance anniversary, comes just before the marathon. I was reflecting that it's crucial in all the lives of the devotees that we take time during Prabhupada's Vyas Puja and Prabhupada's disappearance anniversary to think about our relationship with Srila Prabhupada, consider where we were before we came to this movement, consider how this movement has touched our hearts, and consider what we're doing as sons and daughters of Srila Prabhupada to fulfill his desires. And so I wanted to share with you this Vyasa Puja offering that His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj offered to Srila Prabhupada in 1998. Tamal Krishna Maharaj was Prabhupada's right-hand man. He was Prabhupada's secretary. Whenever something needed to be done, Prabhupada would say, "Where is Tamal? Bring me Tamal." He entrusted him with so many things that seemed impossible. to go and preach in China, to get the land in Mayapur. He sent Tamal Krishna Maharaj to London. The six couples had come, they had started something, but they needed someone to organize, to manage, and so Tamal Krishna Maharaj was the man. Tamal Krishna Maharaj was so dear to Srila Prabhupada and a Sankirtan devotee. So let us hear what he has to say, and we can take some inspiration from him. I'm going to read bits of it because I'm conscious of time. He says in 1998, "Today I stand before you, a wayward son, pitiably reduced, bowed and bereft. More a beggar than when we first met 30 years ago. At that time, Haight Ashbury was a blazing crematorium, filled with ghoulish, ghostly characters, I among them. The entire city of San Francisco was spooked by our outrageous behavior. No one had any idea what to do with us, not the mayor, not the governor, nor the police. Had you not arrived, though uninvited by them, the entire city would have been desecrated. Yet none of those municipal authorities could fathom your glories. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Sri Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Sri Sri Gornitai ki jai. Yet none of those municipal authorities could fathom your glories. Instead, seeing you dance and sing and associate with the half-crazed, they mistook you for one of us. Not recognizing who you were, where you had come from, and what your mission was. Lord Shiva, too, is grossly misunderstood due to his unusual behavior and ghostly entourage. You, like Lord Shiva, are the best of the devotees, the deliverer of the most fallen. As Lord Shiva rides upon his white bull, Nandi, you are carried on the back of Dharma. Shiva means auspicious. He holds the Ganges and the moon on his head, a Trishul and Damaru drum in his hands. Similarly, you are the brilliant moon-like disciple of the star-studded Saraswat firmament. You are as auspicious as Lord Shiva, but the same Ganges only agreed to come to earth if she could be purified by personalities like you. The whole world dances to your Brihad Murdanga rhythms, urged on by the three prongs of Krishna Prasadam, his holy names, and your books. You are the destroyer of all that is inauspicious. Like Lord Shiva, without waiting to be asked, you proceeded to drink the poisonous ocean of that city's sins. Ashutosh is another name of Shiva's names, but are you not equally magnanimous? We pleased you simply by our wild dancing, encouraged by your nods and smiles. With no effort on your part, you freed us from gross, ghostly existence by giving us birth as your own sons and daughters. Then you nourished and raised us to one day inherit your divine mission, Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement." And Maharaj continues to reflect and examine his own character and his own Krishna consciousness, and finds himself, you know, very far away in his humility, very far away from where he thinks Prabhupada wants him to be in his offering, in his contribution to the Sankirtan movement. So we can think about this and think about where we are in our Krishna consciousness, and whether we're appreciating the gift that Prabhupada gave us. Jayapataka Maharaj sings, "Yadhi Prabhupad na hoito." If Prabhupada had not come, what would have become of us? How would we have passed our lives? So we reflect on our position before we join the movement. And if for some reason we think that our position or our condition isn't all that different, then something's wrong. Something's gone seriously wrong. Even if we were born in a Hindu family, even if we were following most of the four regulative principles, even if we were somewhat connected to Vedic culture, if Prabhupada had not intervened, if the devotees hadn't stepped forward and showered their mercy upon us, can we say that the trajectory of our lives would be the same? I think not. And we've really got to consider, where would we have gone? How would we have passed our lives if Prabhupada hadn't made this transcendental movement for us to take shelter of? During Dhammadharashtakam prayers, when we queue up over here to offer a candle, and the guy said, anyway, we stand at the back and we're fortunate enough to pass this wonderful, giant, almost overpowering painting of Srila Prabhupada. And unless you're very tall like Keshava Maharaj, you stand low underneath the painting and then you're looking up at Srila Prabhupada, who's towering above you. And it reminds me of this book I used to read when I was a child. Anyone read this book called The BFG by Roald Dahl? The Big Friendly Giant? So it reminds me of how Prabhupada is this big friendly giant. And in this book, BFG is picking up Sophie, this young girl, and he's putting her in his pocket and he's taking her everywhere. Sophie, because she's high above the city, she's protected. She is above the ground, uncontaminated. She's in the safe pocket of the BFG. Similarly, we can consider that Prabhupada is like a big friendly giant. He's come from Goloka to pick us up from whatever fallen condition we're in. Place us in his transcendental pocket, which is ever expanding, just like Govardhan was when Krishna lifted Govardhan all those years ago. This pocket has space for everybody. And if we take shelter of this pocket, then we can be carried, protected, uplifted, unaffected by the contamination of this world. This ISKCON movement of Srila Prabhupada, he's imported it from the spiritual world. Golokera Premadhana Harinam Sankirtana. And this vehicle of this Harinam Sankirtan is this ISKCON movement. We understand that about 500 years ago, when Lord Chaitanya came, specifically for his dear devotee who was to come in the future, Narottam Das Thakur, he said to the Padma River, please look after this prem, this treasure house of prem. I want you to keep it. I want you to store it. And when my devotee Narottam comes, when he takes shelter of your waters, when he comes for bath in this Padma River, you give him that prema. It's quite funny. There was an astrologer at that time who told Narottam's parents, don't take not your son to any body of water, any river, any lake, any pond, because a calamity will befall him. Be very, very dangerous if Narottam, your son, gets in touch with any body of water. So for many, many years, the parents of Narottam Das Thakur shielded him, protected him from any body of water. But once upon a time, Narottam came to the Padma River. And what happened? As soon as he entered the waters, the river just unleashed all this prema, and Narottam went mad. He went absolutely mad. And later his parents found him and thought, oh my God, all these years we tried so hard to protect him. We kept him away from any rivers, any bodies of water. But somehow or other on this occasion, what the astrologer said has come to pass. And he's come in touch with these waters and he's become very diseased. They called a doctor and the doctor said, oh, it's too late. Your son has a disease of prema. There is no remedy for your son now. It's too late. He's become mad. Similarly, having been sent by Lord Chaitanya as his Senapati Bhakta, his commander in chief, predicted in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Prabhupada, for all of us, in his ISKCON centers and particularly at Bhaktivedanta Manor, he has kept a treasure house of prem waiting to be unlocked. Sometimes some parents, they get a bit scared Oh my God, my son is coming to the manor, my daughter's coming to the manor, they're staying for this course, that course, and they tell me they're going to leave next week, next month, but it's been 5 years and they still haven't left. But it's too late. Once you come in touch with the transcendental holy place that is Bhaktivedanta Manor, you've been infected. The manor is built with bricks of Brahma. And so when we take shelter of this place and we realize how magical it is, anyone who steps foot here, they're changed forever. So this verse is speaking about not only the holy places in India, but this verse is speaking about all of the centers that Prabhupada established and all of the centers that Prabhupada's disciples established and all of the centers that are yet to come that will join this movement and become abodes of auspiciousness. Prabhupada writes in his purport, it does not belong to the material world. You can immediately feel a complete transformation when you drive into the gate, especially on a summer's day when the cows are there, and if you're lucky, you might hear them mooing. Sometimes I like to just, there's a little gap, so you're driving in, you have a bit of time, there's a little bit of gap in the road, it's like a patch of grass, it fits about two small cars, and you can just park your car there, and then just gaze at the cows and just think like, wow, what Prabhupada created here is completely transcendental. The cows, every morning and evening they're milked and their milk is used to make transcendental sweets that Prabhupada imported from the spiritual world for Krishna's pleasure. And then you eat these wonderful sweets and you think, wow, this is magical. This is completely beyond me. How these sweets can taste so good with the best grass in the world, the best milk in the world, the most beautifully decorated sweets in the world, thanks to the divine intervention of Mother Galangana. And then the devotees with so much love offer in the morning at 4 o'clock these beautiful sweets, and then we get to taste them afterwards. And everything about our lives in Krishna consciousness is so magical. We're so fortunate that we get to experience this. Everything is so auspicious. Everything is so joyful. There is no dearth of anything in the spiritual world of the manor. There is an abundance of love, an abundance of Brahma. But it's so easy to forget because we have a wonderful routine and it becomes sometimes in our dull mind too routine, the same songs every morning, the same mantra every day, the same books year after year, if we're reading them. If we don't take some time to step out of our routine and observe these appearance days, these festivals, Madhava Tithi, Bhakti Janani, if we don't take some time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, whatever Ekadashi, he would sit, take some time aside and reflect. What is my Krishna consciousness? Where is it going? What is my relationship with Krishna? We don't take some time aside to meditate, to think, to reflect, to digest. We can get caught up and think this is just some mundane life and I'm missing out. I think Jagannath Sutta Prabhu mentioned this in his class. The FOMO, the fear of missing out. Everyone else, they don't have to rise so early. But we have hit the jackpot. We should take some time to realize this. A few days or a few weeks before His Holiness Kadambakandana Swami left the planet, he recorded a video, 10 minutes or so, his final instructions. And he said something very striking. He said, the richest man in the world is a pauper. Everything that the media, society, the government is encouraging us to chase, perhaps sometimes even our parents, our families, the way the Western world is encouraging us to live our lives. We're being trained to earn money, but we're being simultaneously trained to become paupers. The real riches are found in the Krishna consciousness movement. But sometimes, even though we have everything, if we don't share it with others, then perhaps our condition is worse than those who are actually paupers. Have you guys got any idea of what it might be like if you're worse? Could you guys share with me who might be worse than a pauper? What kind of person is worse than a pauper? A miser, absolutely. Worse than someone who has nothing is someone who has everything but doesn't know the value of what he's got. Worse than someone who has everything, sorry, worse than someone who has nothing is someone who has everything, knows the value of what he's got, but doesn't think about those who have nothing. But rather we want to take shelter of the spirit of Prahlad Maharaj. And he shares something nice. Realizing the value of Krishna consciousness, realizing the value of this Bhaktivedanta manner that Srila Prabhupada has gifted us, realizing the value of this wonderful transcendental life that is freeing us from the misery of material existence, Prahlad Maharaj says, Prayena deva munayasva vimukti kama Maunam charanti vijanena pararth nishtha Netan vihaya kripanan vimumuksha eko Nanyam tvadasya sharanam brahmato nupashye. Prahlad Maharaj tells us, he encourages us to meditate. My dear Lord Narasimhadev, I see that there are many saintly persons indeed, but they are interested only in their own deliverance, not caring for the big cities and towns. They go to the Himalayas or the forest to meditate with vows of silence, mon vrat. They are not interested in delivering others. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone, leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to shelter at your lotus feet. How can we enjoy this wonderful mansion with all the nice signs, all the wonderful facilities, the wonderful prasad, the feast on Saturday morning? A herd of 60 or 70 cows that are growing because Prabhupada wanted it. All these beautiful original paintings, unique in all the world. The most beautiful Radha Gokulananda. Akrura, on his way to Vrindavan, he said, surely I can expect your mercy. Similarly, on our way to Vrindavan, the manor, we will expect and receive, undoubtedly, Krishna's mercy. The gopis say, this is a utsav, 7 a.m. This is a festival of seeing. The way Gokulananda is dressed, 3 minutes in the morning is not enough. We have to come back after class to see them, and then we find that we've spent so much time in front of the deities, there's no more breakfast. We go and have some breakfast, and then we come back again because all that time with the deities, to drink in their beauty was not enough. They're so overwhelmingly beautiful. How can we keep Gokulananda to ourselves? How can we be so miserly, so ungrateful, so arrogant almost? Gokulananda is not our God. He belongs to the entire world. How can we sleep at night thinking that Gokulananda belongs just to us and that not everyone in the UK has drunk in this most beautiful, most exalted darshan? You know what's also nice to see? Sometimes the cow sitting behind next to the utsav deity, sometimes in a different position. Sometimes they're facing this way, sometimes they're facing that way. You guys notice that? There are so many wonderful pastimes happening on that altar, and we get to see it. How can we not share it with other people? Prabhupada has given us a gift of the manor, but I think an even greater gift he has given us is this inheritance of the Sankirtan movement. And the base of this Sankirtan movement in the UK and perhaps even Europe is this manor. We've got to maintain the manor. We've got to expand it. I feel like we have to give the managers of the manor a hard time. I'll qualify that. Don't pause it here. They built the Haveli, but we pray that the Haveli becomes too small. Let there be more and more people that are coming in because of our transcendental book distribution, that the managers are scratching their heads. This manor is not big enough. We have to build another Haveli. Let that be our goal, because we must share the good fortune we receive with others. Because the good fortune we receive, we can't hold it just with our two hands. Prabhupada, carrying the mercy of Lord Chaitanya like a massive vessel on his head, has showered mercy, upon gallon, upon litre, upon vessel, upon ocean of mercy upon this place and therefore on us. There's not enough for the few devotees that come here. We have to share it with others, and thereby our enjoyment of this place will increase. Our real enjoyment comes in serving the manor and expanding its glories all over the world. Well, we can start with the UK. I'm conscious of time, but in glorifying the manor, why do we want to stop? But I know we have to honour the manor's prasad also, which is another of its opulences. So let us consider our good fortune of coming in contact with this holy place that this verse describes as Vaikuntha, that this verse described as supremely auspicious. Let us be grateful to Srila Prabhupada, who created our good fortune, without whom I shudder to think what we may all have been doing. And then with that gratitude, with the good fortune and mercy overflowing from our hands, let us just consider what we can do to share it with other people. If we can go out on Sankirtan just for a few hours during this month and meet the people on the ground, meet the people on the streets, meet the people where they are, stop them in their tracks and share with our long-lost brothers and sisters the plea of their doting father, Krishna, then that would be a very, very nice service. With each book, let us invite them back home, back to the spiritual world, because we were once in their position, and I shudder to think where we might be if one kind devotee did not intervene. So let's leave it here. I'm not sure if we've got time for questions. Maybe one or two. Or some comments. We have some very exalted and senior devotees in our assembly. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for the wonderful class. It was very sweet. I'm constantly thinking about what do we as devotees need to hear to take certain parts of our spiritual life more seriously. And obviously we are in a preparation for the winter marathon. So if you can summarize your inspiration to actually give you that impetus and movement to go out on book distribution, let's say in a sentence, in a simple sentence, what would that be? Something like, just do it, or whatever it may be, something what gives you some kind of inspiration that, you know what, I finished my work, I done my duty as a son, as a husband, as a father, but now is the time I will become a Sankirtan devotee. Now is the time to take that role on. So how would you inspire others, grihasthas for instance? What would be your...
I don't think we need to stop being a husband, son or father to become a Sankirtan devotee. I think Prabhupada has given us meaning. What does it mean to be a son? What does it mean to be a husband? What does it mean to be a father? Prabhupada, through his transcendental books, is teaching us how to make these roles perfect, without which, what would our trajectory be as sons, husbands, fathers? all zeros without the one that is Krishna. All important roles, but without Krishna, they're zeros. I asked my spiritual master a similar question. You know, what keeps you going? Why do you do this? I asked him at a time where he wasn't sleeping much because he had so many responsibilities in different parts of the world, and he was on a retreat and he was giving. And he was exhausted physically. And I said, what keeps you going? And he said, Prabhupada made a sacrifice, so we must make a sacrifice. What are you going to do? So like this, we examine the life story of Srila Prabhupada. He didn't have it easy by any means. We think about his time in Delhi in the 50s, fainting in the sun. He was pierced in the stomach by a bull. Rejection after rejection, simply because he cared. He didn't want to keep this wonderful gift of Krishna consciousness to himself. So Prabhupada made a sacrifice for us. And the sacrifice that we have to make is small compared to the sacrifice that Prabhupada made. We can make a sacrifice in the comfort of our ashram. Don't take on any unnecessary austerity for the sake of austerity. Just make whatever little sacrifice you can do. And that will add even more meaning to your ashram. Is that okay?
Can we say then, Prabhupada made a sacrifice, we have to make sacrifice. What are you going to do? Can you say that this could be the sutra?
Yeah, Prabhupada made a sacrifice. So we got to make a sacrifice.
Okay, thank you.
What are you going to do? And what we do, I guess, is not big or small or this or that. Do whatever's practical for you. Prabhupada made a sacrifice. That's his sacrifice. You don't have to make the same sacrifice. Anusar and not anukar. Take the spirit of Prabhupada's sacrifice. Understand what he did for us and do a little something for him, for the movement, for the world. And in doing so, ultimately, you will benefit the most. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Prabhupada Transcendental Book Distribution ki. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Nitai Gaura Premanande.